Continuing discussion, text 38, Brahma Samhita, which we have just chanted. Premanjana Churiti Bhakti Vilochanena Santatsude Vridyeshu Vilokayanti Yam Shama Sundaram Chintigunas Rupam Govindamari Purusham Tamaham Vajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is Shyam Sundar Krishna himself, with inconceivable, innumerable attributes, whom the pure devotees see in their heart of hearts with the eye of devotion, tinged with the salve of love. So we want to continue discussing this principle of seeing the Lord, having darshan of the Lord within the heart, having darshan of the Lord by meditation, or having sakshat darshan of the Lord, seeing the Lord face to face, and different examples of different devotees in those categories. And we also want to bring up this point of this, it's mentioned here, the form Sham is not the blue color visible in the mundane world, but is a transcendental variegated color affording eternal bliss that's not visible to the mortal eye. So there's a significance about this color, that when the eye is tinged with this salve of love, or the ointment of love, Prem Anjana, that one sees this beautiful bluish form of the Lord. But it's not something like the color blue of this world. Although we're enjoined to consider the Lord's transcendental body in terms of rain clouds and other bluish, black-colored objects of this world, he remains in his own right in a very wonderful, effulgent Ujjvala Nilamani. Ujjvala Nilamani, a very effulgent form like a blue sapphire Nilamani. And why Krishna manifests that color? Why is that the color of the topmost form of the personality of Godhead? So we want to discuss that also. Now, we've been hinting at, but we haven't discussed specifically about this, the difference between this antardrishti, or seeing the Lord in the heart, and seeing the Lord outside, eye to eye, sakshat darshan, which is also possible. So in this Dhammadharastikam, Sanatan Goswami wrote a commentary to this book, these prayers by Satyavrata Muni, and he discusses something which he himself, in his purports, he quotes from the another work which he wrote, Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and he's discussing Gopakumar. Gopakumar, he was, as I mentioned, he was in search of the Lord. He wanted to see Krishna. And he finally made it to Tapaloka. So when he got to Tapaloka, and some of this discussion is also there in the 11th canto of Bhagavatam, on Tapaloka he met these different rishis there, because Tapaloka, of course, is a material planet, practically almost the highest planet in the material world. Because after Tapaloka, there's Satyaloka, Janaloka, Mahaloka, Swargaloka, Janaloka, Mahaloka, Tapaloka, Satyaloka. So it's practically at the topmost place of the material world before you leave this material world. It's a place where rishis go and self-realized souls go, and personalities who perform the Varnashram Dharma for 100 lifetimes and the Varna and Ashram of Sannyas, they can go there. So when he gets there, Gopakumar gets there, then he meets those sages there, and they have some discussions with him, because he's a little anxious. He gets there and he joins them in their meditation, and he gets kind of anxious to move on, and even expresses his anxiety. He said, in so many words, he said, "Listen, guys, it's not happening. You know, it's not happening over here. I want to go on. I want to go see the Lord somewhere." And then they said, "Look, sit down, relax, little boy. You have to enter the big time," because he had not yet had a long beard yet. And he hadn't really sufficiently applied himself to the process that they were advocating on Tapaloka. So they tried to convince him to stay in the new bhakta program of Tapaloka. Just like sometimes if you have the opportunity to run a temple or preach to devotees, Bhakta John packs his bags after Mangalarti and Krishnadas comes running into your office frantically. Maharaj, Bhakta John's packing his bags. He's leaving the temple. I said, really? So what should we do? Well, we should convince him to stay. I said, all right. So let's see what he has to say. So go to see Bhakta John. And what's the problem? Well, you know, it's this and that. So many problems. So many doubts. So we order some Mahaprasadam for Bhakta John. And Mangalarti sweets have a magical potency to convince any new bhakta to continue with the process. And a few kind words and you know, a pat on the back and, you know, gold star and everything. And then he tries it again. So Pipalayana, the son of Rishabhadev, he told Gopa Kumar, he said, hey, Gopa, why do you want to leave Tapaloka? You know, why do you want to leave the manor? And we have a great bhakta program here. Why do you want to leave Bhaktivedanta Manor? This is the exalted abode of great sages. Why do you want to go elsewhere? Why do you wander all around the place aspiring for a vision of the Parameshwar, Sri Krishna, who is not perceivable by any of the senses, including the eyes? In other words, these sages are trying to do a good job of deprogramming little Gopa Kumar. They thought he was just a new bhakta, and they could easily sway his mind. I said, listen, you can't, you think you can see Krishna with your eyes? You silly. You have to sit down and do some tapasya and meditation. You can't see him. How can you see transcendence, spiritual reality with your material eye? So Gopa is just quiet. So now he wants to remind them. Now listen, here's the process. This Dhyan Yoga. This is the meditative process of Jnana, Jnani Bhaktas, or devote their yogis, but they're not aparadis. They worship the super soul through meditation, so it's called Dhyan. And this is the process of what are called Jnani Bhaktas, because they're devoted to a form of the Lord, as Parameshwara. But they're pursuing knowledge and meditation, so they're called jnanis. You know, it's jnana mishra bhakti, basically. First, concentrate your mind on deep meditation within. And in such a condition, you will naturally see the Lord, Swayam Bhagavan, perpetually lives everywhere, both within and without. And thus, he is just as perceptible as any other plainly visible thing. Paramatma Vasudeva Satchidananda Vigraha Nitantam shudate chite spuratyesha nachanyata. This is verse 88 from this chapter of the Sriyad Bhagavatamrita. The Lord Vasudev, who is known as Paramatma, remains within the heart as the monitor of the soul. In other words, he's monitoring, he's observing all the soul's activities, and he's also guiding the soul and moving the soul into favorable and unfavorable events according to the good and bad karmas of that soul, and he's reminding the soul and guiding him accordingly. So he's the monitor. And the super soul is his very form is Satchit Ananda Vigraha, composed of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Thus, the Paramatma is manifest only unto a heart that is continuously being purified by the mode of Vishuddha Sattva, pure goodness. He is not perceivable by other senses. In other words, you can realize him in the core of your heart through meditation. You can't see him with your eyes. Tadanin cha manovritti antarabhavat susidyati. Chitasa kalo yat shakshat chakshusha darshanam hare. Sakshat chakshusha darshanam hare. The attainment of Bhagavad Darshan in the heart is called Dhyan. And if one obtains this, then is that not vision by the eyes? In other words, Gopakumara was a simple little boy. He was chanting his Gopal mantra. And he said, listen, boys, yogis, rishis, I want to see this Kumara, Krishna. I want to see Gopal. Hey, listen, you little boy. What do you say? You want to see him? You think it's just like you're going to walk down the street and see a tree, or you're going to see God? Look, I don't know, but I that's what I want. I want to see him. He's very beautiful, and I want to see him. I said, no, listen. You know, when you see him in your heart through dhyanam, isn't that, that's the same, right? It's called antardrishti, seeing inside. Antar means inside. So he's having a dialogue, this Pipalayana, who's also in the 11th canto. The attainment, he says, so then specifically, is there any need to leave Tapaloka and go elsewhere to have his vision with the eyes? And then that's what he says, and then there's the reply. When one, in response to this argument, the answer is given. When one beholds Sri Hari directly with the eyes, that vision is also perfectly accomplished by the mind. This is because when one sees Bhagavan, then no other thoughts can arise within the mind. That is, upon beholding the darshan of Sri Bhagavan Murti within the deeply absorbed meditative mind, that is verily a vision of the eyes. So this is called internal darshan, seeing Krishna in the mind. Then it goes on. If someone says that all this is acceptable, but still there is more pleasure in seeing Krishna directly with the eyes, then the response is given. This is the this two-sided dialogue is all coming from Pipalayana. Upon the arising of pleasure within the mind, all the senses naturally become pleased. Due to the mind's centralized functioning, the pleasure of all the senses is included in the mind's pleasure. In other words, if you see Krishna within your mind, that will create such an ananda or a pleasure, and that will be distributed equally to all the senses, because all the senses are connected to the mind. So it's like you put food in the stomach and then the whole body is nourished. So if Krishna is seen in the mind or internally, then automatically the eyes will experience bliss, and there's no need to separately or independently desire or hanker to see the Lord only with the eyes. The functions of all the senses, including tongue, eyes, ears, and so forth, are accomplished through the sole means of the mind. That is, senses cannot independently grasp their objects, such as taste, form, and sound, without the mind accepting them with its perception. Next verse. Mano vritim vina sarvendriyanam vrityo phala. Kritapiha kritaiva syad atman yanu palabdita. Without the function of the mind, the functions of all the senses are ineffective. If the senses grasp their receptive objects, and if the mind has not accepted such stimuli, then the objects are still not perceived by the soul. That's what anesthesia is all about. In other words, your hand has so many tactile senses of touch, heat and cold, and all these things. And then you can perceive that because those senses, those nerves go up your arm and are connected to your mind. But if someone gives you anesthesia or something, they want to operate on your hand, they give you some shot and they short circuit the connection between your senses, sense of touch, and your mind, then you can't tell whether they're poking you or cutting you or draining out your blood or what they're doing. So that's what he's saying, that the senses cannot independently grasp their objects, such as taste, form, touch, sound, without the mind accepting them. So ordinarily, I can touch something, or if I touch a needle, if I touch a needle with my finger, that hurts. So that sensation of touching a needle goes to my mind, and my mind says, hey, withdraw your finger, that's pain. But if they give me a shot of anesthesia there, and they start taking a razor blade and cutting off the end of my finger, that's certainly much more painful than touching a pin. But I don't feel it. And I don't have any, there's no reaction because the mind is not playing a part. So the senses have no ability to, the senses have no ability to register pleasure or pain without the mind. This is what Pipilayan is telling us. Without the function of the mind, the function of the senses are ineffective. If the senses grasp the respective objects, and if the mind has not accepted such stimuli, the objects are not perceived by the soul. Therefore, Bhagavan is manifest within a purified mind's function, Vishuddha Chitta Vritti Vishesh. That is actual darshan. The vision that is directly perceived by the eyes is not darshan, because he, Krishna, is not perceptible by the functions of the senses. Anyone has any rebuttal to this? Sanatan Goswami has an argument for it. So at this, another question may be raised. We have heard that Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlad and many other devotees have seen the Lord with their own eyes. How is that? How is that? Any answers? Huh? Yeah, they're pure devotees, but is that all it takes?
If I remember correctly, that whole food, he was saying inside, appeared outside.
Yeah. Yeah, he saw. Well, how was that? Because these sages up in Tapaloka, they're saying it's not possible. He's imperceptible. You can't see God with your material eyes. So then what is the answer that we're looking for? When the Lord sometimes appears before the eyes of his devotees, just like one answer was given, one Mataji said that because they are pure devotees. But that's not always true either. Bilvamangala Thakur had not attained pure devotion, but Krishna appeared to him twice or thrice during the course of his sadhana bhakti. He was a sadhaka, not a siddha. And he had darshan. Because why? Because of the bhakta-vatsalya nature of the Lord. The affectionate nature. Vatsalya means affection. Like a parental love means vatsalya ras. It's a very sweet, affectionate. He's affectionate to his devotees. Even if they're not perfected devotees or pure devotees, he may choose, out of his own free will, the Supreme Lord may choose to advent himself or reveal himself. Due to the extraordinary affection for his devotees, the Lord will appear before his devotees. Then that vision is actually observed through the mind's eyes. So he's saying this is through the mind's eyes. This darshan takes place by the faculty of gyan drishti. So there's different types of seeing the Lord. They're seeing the Lord through his energy, which we'll discuss. They're seeing the Lord through his actual form appears in the heart. Then are seeing, which is called antardrishti, or you could say dhyan, meditation, or this gyandrishti, dhyanam or gyandrishti. Then they're seeing sakshat hari, or sakshat darshan, externally. This darshan takes place by the faculty of gyandrishti, the eyes of knowledge within the functioning of the mind, not by physical eyesight. This is because the external senses are fully under the sway of temporary things, and they cannot grasp transcendental objects. Upon receiving darshan of the Lord within one's mind, which has become purified to the state of shuddha-sattva, then a devotee only thinks proudly that this is a vision seen with the eyes, although in actuality it has not been perceived with the physical eyes. He's thinking, I saw the Lord, I saw him, I saw him. Just like that the Muslim tailor outside of Srivast Thakur's house. This is in Chaitanya Bhagavat. He used to every day wash the clothes or iron the clothes. I think it was maybe the tailor, maybe sewed the clothes for the Srivast Thakur's family. These are three or four brothers, Srinath and Sriram, I think. Different brothers were living there, a joint family in Srivast Angam. And there are many Muslims there, so he used to be the tailor and sew their clothes. So one day, because he was a very religious person, a very devout Mohammedan, and he was a non-envious person, a real man of God, a godly person, So Lord Chaitanya wanted to show his favor because he wanted to show that anyone who serves devotees or connected with devotees, they will be benefited. Even if you're just the, you know, a distant servant of the devotees as a Muslim tailor. So Lord Chaitanya came by one day. He came by that Muslim tailor and he revealed himself. He gave a special darshan and gave the eyes to that person, that Muslim tailor, to see that Lord Chaitanya is actually, he's Muhammad, he's Allah, he's God, he's everything. And then when the Muslim tailor, he realized it, because he thought that Lord Chaitanya was just Nimai Pandit. He was just a Pandit, he was a Brahmin, the son of Jagannath Mishra. He was Vishwambara Mishra, famous Panditji, a Pandit in the town, Sanskrit scholar, teacher. Now all of a sudden, and when he saw, he actually had internal realization. He saw externally and realized internally, Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of God, the Supreme Lord. The Lord Allah, or Jehovah, Yahweh, whatever you want to call him. And when he realized that, he started dancing around with his hands above his head. I see it! I see him! I see him! I see him! You know, he's God, he's God, he's God. He went completely ecstatic in his realization. So he was thinking like this, that he was either seeing internally or externally. Somehow he realized the actual identity of Lord Chaitanya. So then Sanatana Goswami goes on. Bhagavan occasionally becomes visible to the external eyes of a devotee out of his potency of mercy. Because this is one of the, like someone, this is one of the meanings of God. One of the definitions of God is that he's totally independent. And he can do whatever he wants. And if you limit God, then you no longer have an entity called God, because God is unlimited. So we say that we do not have the power to see God. With our material eyes, we cannot see the spiritual form or the transcendental reality of the Absolute Truth or of God. It's not possible. How can material eyes see something spiritual? That's an acceptable and established fact. It meets the principles of logic and reason also, and also experience. But we cannot limit the Lord and say, and God on his side, he cannot reveal himself to us. No. How can you? That's a limitation. You're putting a limitation on God. If he chooses, out of his unlimited, part of his unlimited nature is that he, by his own arrangement, he can make the transcendental reality or his spiritual form available to us. So we'll either see him in antardrishti or we'll see him externally according to his will. He will give us the power and ability to perceive him internally, externally, or even eye to eye. We can smell his body and touch him and everything, which is described in the Madhurya Kadambini from Vishnu Chakravartipad. At the level of bhava and prema, one has the direct experience of the Lord. Just like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was living as the ideal devotee and also as Krishna and also as Radharani and Radhabhav at different places in his Leela. So when he was in Puri, sometimes he would enter the Jagannath Vallabha Bagicha, Jagannath Vallabha Garden, and he would immediately immerse himself in this Braja Vesh, in this Prema Vesh, this absorption in the Prema Vrindavan. And he would just lose himself and forget all about Puri and forget all about everything. And all the trees became the Kalpavriksha trees of Vrindavan, and all the groves and kunjas reminded him of the groves and kunjas, nikunjas and kunjas of Vrindavan and Vrindavan. So he started running, and as he's running through that forest, he perceives the fragrance of the Lord. And when he smells the fragrance of the Lord's body, of Krishna's body, he becomes totally intoxicated and mad with enthusiasm and eagerness to see the Lord and meet the Lord. So he's just driven like a bee, like a honeybee, maddened by the sweet smell of a freshly blossoming lotus flower. And he's flying. He's flying with great, on the wings of enthusiasm and eagerness to meet his Lord through this garden of Jagannath Vallabha Bagicha. And then, and his nose, he's just like, he's feeling his whole, just by smelling the fragrance of the Lord's body, has enlivened with his nose, he's smelling the transcendental fragrance. And it enlivens his mind and heart in such a way that all kinds of ecstatic symptoms manifest on his body. And then he's running, and that experience of the Lord's fragrance has driven him into has stirred his heart into an ecstatic mood where he's madly running through the forest looking for his Lord. And then he sees Krishna standing under a tamal tree with tribhanga form, standing in threefold form, looking so beautiful and so attractive. And then his eyes become completely enlivened by the darshan of the Lord, and then he runs to embrace the Lord, and then he just gets there and the Lord disappears. And he collapses on the ground. So this is, on one level, this is of course completely lila between Radharani and Krishna, in a mood of separation and meeting in the gardens of Vrindavan. But on another level, it shows the experience that the devotee has in the level of bhava and prem. The Lord sometimes manifests in that way before the senses of the devotee, the advanced devotee. So Bhagavan occasionally becomes visible to the external eyes of a devotee out of his potency of mercy. For what cannot be accomplished by his all-pervading energies? Even upon this form of darshan, the bliss created thereof is manifest only in the heart, since the heart or mind is the seat for the arising of ananda. And furthermore, if one obtains the darshan of Bhagavan, and afterwards he disappears, then the bliss generated in the heart by his vision sports about within the heart, resulting in the experience of many kinds of successive visions and revisions. It's like flashbacks, or, you know, you see the Lord, you have darshan of the Lord, and then it's so overwhelming that even afterwards you see in your heart. Oftentimes, devotees that are engaged in deity worship in a very devotional way, in a very surrendered and personal way, after some time, they're so accustomed to seeing the form of the Lord, of Radha and Krishna, that oftentimes when they sleep at night, when they're not directly, you know, hours every day with the form of the Lord, serving Him face to face and serving Radha and Krishna face to face, then when they're either chanting japa or when they're resting at night, they often see the face and forms of the Lord will appear before them, appear and reappear. Because, of course, the deity form is not different from the original form of the Lord, but, of course, the experience may be not quite, you know, the same type of bliss and effect that one has when he has sakshat darshan, because we'll hear about what happens when one has direct darshan of the Lord, how it changes the person completely, internally and externally. Therefore, Bhagavad Darshan, the vision of the Lord, is resolved only in the mind. And the mind is the single most greatest receptacle capable of realizing the bliss of his vision. This is all the preaching of Pipalayana. Therefore, there is no need of endeavoring to see him with one's eyes. In other words, he's giving so many different arguments to convince Gopakumar, stay here, meditate, you'll see him in your mind, you'll have all kinds of happiness there, and you don't emphasize seeing with your external eyes, the eye of the mind, the mind's eye, the heart's eye, it's all there, and happiness is only through the mind, and the senses have no reality or ability to give bliss or happiness without connecting with the mind. And he's there, yes, yes, yes. And the whole time Pipalayana is preaching, then what is Gopakumar doing? Klim Krishnaya Govindaya. He's chanting his Gopal mantra. I think he had a 10-syllable Gopal mantra, so it's just Gopi Jana Vallabha. So there's no Krishna or Govindaya. At any rate, he's there peacefully listening to all this sagacious advice from the great sages. Someone may say, the mind, like all the other external senses, is also limited to perceiving only temporary material things. Therefore, even the mind is incapable of experiencing a darshan of the transcendental Bhagavan Murti. That's the argument that Pipalayana gives. Well, you may say, Gopakumar, well, wait a minute. You talk about the limitation of the material senses. They're incapable of holding or conceiving or are embracing the Lord's darshan because of their material nature, when you're emphasizing that the mind has some kind of speciality that it can do that, and therefore feed back and disseminate the ananda to the other senses. So just try to have gyan drishti or antar drishti. But then, so then he's anticipating, he's a very clever preacher. So he's saying, well, you might say that the mind is also material. So it's also limited. So now this is what Pipalayana presents the doubt, and then he answers it. Even though the mind is limited to matter, by the mercy of the Lord, Prasad, the mind can become pure enough to experience the increase of bliss associated with his direct vision. And such a transformed mind gradually expands in its capacity to behold him. Other than the mind, the other senses cannot be elevated and illumined in this way, because they are all external. In other words, because the purified mind is so subtle, it is actually capable of perceiving the form of spirit. This is, and then he, so that's, it goes on a little bit more. So then he cites about Brahma. He gives some principles. Now he gives some examples through different devotees. At the dawn of creation, Brahma immersed himself in meditation, and he attained samadhi. Right? We heard about that. And Bhagavan bestowed his darshan. Seeing the vision of the Lord within the rapture of his samadhi, Brahma respectfully bowed down, and Bhagavan personally took him by the hand and shook his hand. I'm very pleased with your penance. Now you may request a boon. After praying for a boon, Brahma directly obtained the Chatushloki, four seed verses of Bhagavatam. This pastime illustrates how in the state of samadhi one perceives Bhagavad Darshan and has an experience that is complete with the supremely merciful blessings of seeing the Lord, obtaining boons, conversing with him, and being touched by him, and so forth. So, there's some comment here, summary. So this entire presentation so far shows that antar darshan, or seeing Krishna inside through meditation or through internal samadhi, is superior to direct vision of the Lord. This is only true for the jnani bhaktas. And then there's the whole discussion about external darshan of the Lord. And that is why people, devotees, they go to bhajan, to Mayapur, Navadvipa, to the Bhajan Stali. This is called Sadhana Stali. And they, Gaurakishore, Bhaktivinoda, all the great devotees in our line, they always spend many, many years of their life, exemplary Bhajan life, in Mayapur, absorbed in their Bhajan, because that is the place where of Audharya, of magnanimity and mercy, and where one easily makes advancement and attains the mercy of Gaur Nitai and the holy name. And then attaining that purity of consciousness, then they come to Vrindavan, which is Siddha Stali. And in Vrindavan, this is where so many saints have had darshan of the Lord, of Radha and Krishna, throughout history. And sometimes the saints will go so far to even say that if you want to see Krishna, you can see Krishna in Vrindavan. And of course you can see Krishna anywhere and everywhere. But the facility for seeing Krishna is greatly available in Brajabhumi. Rupa Goswami, when he analyzes the unlimited forms of bhakti, he categorizes them into 64 and then Navavida bhakti, nine limbs, and finally Panchanga bhakti. Panchanga bhakti is the five limbs of bhakti, and one of them is Mathura Vas, or living in Vrindavan. He said this is most conducive. Just by this one, Ek Anga, you can have the perfection. Simply by living in Vrindavan in the proper consciousness, in mood of surrender and service, one can attain the goal of life, Krishna Prema. So, in Sanatana Goswami explains in his commentary on Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and also in the, referring to the sixth verse of Dhammadharastika, that he proves that the best type of darshan of Krishna is that which is perceived directly with the senses, eye to eye, tooth to tooth, nail to nail. Like when the gopis and Krishna fight in the water, and they have water fighting in Yamuna, to describe Ananti Leela. They're fighting arm to arm, nail to nail, tooth to tooth. So it's a pretty ferocious battle. So it's perceived directly with the senses, as in the case of his Shuddha Bhaktas or pure devotees, and sometimes also in the case of sadhakas, by the Lord's, from the Lord's side, the Shuddha Bhaktas or the pure devotees, they compel by the purity of their devotion, they compel and force the Lord to come to them and embrace them and reveal them himself. They attract the Lord. And then the sadhakas who are endeavoring intensely, sometimes the Lord, out of his compassion, he's also attracted and he runs there to extend himself to increase their determination. So Sanatana Goswami, in presenting his argument to emphasize how saksha darshan is greater than seeing Krishna in the mind or seeing him in samadhi and meditation, or what they call gyan drishti or antardrishti, he cites this Satyabrata Muni's Dhammadarasikam, text number 6. Namo deva dhammo dharananta vishno prasida prabho dukkha jadlabdi magnam kripa drishti vristyati dinam batanu grihaneshamam agyam medyakshi drishya grihaneshamam agyam edyakshi drishya. He says akshi means eyes and drishya means darshan. First he does nam sankirtan. Well, this is actually the key. From nam sankirtan, what will happen? Rup darshan, right? Nam, rup, guna, lila. So by chanting the holy name, Shuddha Nam, then one has darshan. So he says, Damodar, Ananta, Vishnu, right? These are different names of the Lord. Deva. Obeisances to you, O Deva, O Damodar, O Ananta, O Vishnu. Namo Deva, Damodar, Ananta, Vishnu. Prasida Prabho, O Prabhu, give me your mercy. Be pleased with me. Dukkha Jalad Abdi Magnam. I am sinking deeply in the ocean of tribulations. Kripa Drishti Vristyati Dinam Patanu. Shower the Drishti. Drishti means Kripa Drishti means rain of mercy. Shower the rain of your merciful glance upon me, who am so pitifully fallen. Dinam Patanu. Dino, as we know. Alas, kindly exhibit your favor and deliver me, O Isha. I am totally ignorant. Please become visible to my eyes. So he's... So in the Dig Darshani Tika of Sanatana Goswami Pad, he says, only by Sri Nam Sankirtan, this is the Parama Sadhana, or supreme method for attaining the beautiful darshan of Krishna. So he says that this verse shows that the Muni, he's not desiring, although Satyabrata Muni was living in Satya Yuga, he's not desiring to see the Lord by meditation. He wants to see this beautiful form of, which we mentioned yesterday, of Bala Gopal, eye to eye. So now in the other arguments that are used here by Sanatana Goswami, The sages and residents of Tapaloka, Sri Pipalayana, they established the significance of darshan of the Lord within one's mind, being superlative to darshan with one's eyes. Now, the contrary position will be revealed. In this Brihad Bhagavatamrita, chapter 3, it talks about the Vaikunthavasis. And it says the Vaikunthavasis, they will now establish the superiority of direct darshan with the eyes as compared to seeing the Lord during samadhi or dhyan within the mind. So now we have the opposite argument. Direct darshan. Drigyam prabhor darshanato hi sarvatas tat tat prashadavali labdir ikshyate. Sarvadikam Sandra Sukancha Jayate. Sandra. Sandra's there. Sadyantadeva Shavanadi Bhaktina. Translation. The direct vision of the Lord with one's very eyes is the highest grace attained by the successive waves of His, Krishna's, merciful benedictions. Since Kardama Muni, Dhruva, and other devotees received the darshan of Bhagavan and thereby attained His great mercy, these stories illustrate the supreme glories of seeing Krishna with the eyes. From this type of direct vision comes extremely profound bliss that surpasses all other forms of darshan, such as in meditation. A direct vision of the Lord is the topmost fruit of all sadhana practice. Upon attaining this, the ignorance of maya within the soul is destroyed down to the root, while simultaneously the illumination of prema increases more and more. So you can see there's the results of seeing Krishna with your eyes. If He's very kind to the devotee, even as a sadhaka, before he's attained to the platform of bhava bhakti, or the threshold of prema, out of the merciful wish of the Lord, He may reveal Himself to the sadhaka, to the practitioner of bhakti. And what happens? Ignorance of maya within the soul is destroyed down to the root. Right? Anartha Nivritti, all is completely destroyed. So there's three things that happen which are illustrated in the next verse. One is that the result of seeing Krishna with your eyes, having saksha darshan, is the ignorance covering the soul is destroyed completely. The attachment and affection for the Lord increases more and more and more. And then finally, one becomes overwhelmed. These are three different things that happen. One becomes overwhelmed with bliss and begins to exhibit sattvic vikars, or transformations of the body, like shivering, hair standing on end, crying, etc. So there's three different effects that happen by having darshan of the Lord. One happens at the level of sadhana bhakti, one happens at the level of bhava bhakti, and one at the level of bhava going into prema. Because these are the three levels of bhakti. So the level of sadhana bhakti, which is our level, if we are so fortunate to have darshan of the Lord, then the result of that is total anartha nivritti. All ignorance will be destroyed in the soul down to the root. In other words, the mool, avidya mool, all the ignorance is finished, anarthas. Then if one is on the level or approaching bhava, then his anxiousness and his samutkanta, which we read in relation to Narada Muni, his eagerness, his intense eagerness to see the Lord again and to have His darshan and to serve Him more and more will intensify immensely for the one who's approaching bhava, or one who's in bhava, will increase his bhava. And then if one is in the level of prema, then when he has darshan of the Lord, he'll swoon in ecstasy, and he'll be overcome by different crying and hair standing in, rolling on the ground, so many things. Examples from Hari Bhakti Sirodaya will give further proof regarding the supreme delightfulness of seeing Krishna with one's eyes. Prahlad Maharaj, as well as other great devotees, although constantly seeing the Lord within their hearts, antardrishti, although they were constantly seeing the Lord, he was in Shantaras. Prahlad Maharaj is considered to be in Shantaras. He's the beginning of pure devotion in Shantaras. So he was kind of in a meditative mood of on reverence towards the Lord. He wasn't doing any active service for the Lord, as was Hanuman, so many services. He was just passively absorbed, always in meditating on the Lord and remembering Him. That's how we list the nine different types of devotees who attain perfection by one of the Navavida Bhakti, limbs of bhakti. So we say Smaranam. Who attained perfection by Smaranam? Then we say Bhakta Prahlad. So Smaranam means remembering. So he was remembering doing Vishnu Dhyanam. He was meditating on Vishnu within the heart in Shantaras. But it's explained here in Hari Bhakti Sudodaya that he was always longing. Even though he was seeing the Lord in the heart through his meditation, he always wanted to see the Lord with his eyes. From the time he was 5 years old, he wanted to have darshan of the Lord. The proof of this is that one day Prahlad Maharaj was sitting on the shore of the sea. Maybe Jagannath Puri. And obtained the direct vision of Sri Bhagavan. Thereafter, the bhava of his ecstatic love especially increased. So, this is described in the Hari Bhakti Sudodaya. This means that this pastime happened in a different kalpa and happened in that way. It's also described there that in the Sringadeva, in that particular kalpa, that he didn't come out of a column, but he walked in the front gate, roaring and effulgent as the sun, in front gate of Hiranyakashipu's palace. So he appeared, but in a little different way. So this is one result, that the bhava increases unlimitedly. Then another verse that's quoted by Sanatana Goswami. That'll be about 2 more minutes and we're done. Krishnasya sakshat apijayate yat keshanchi rakshi dvayamilanadi dhyanam na tat kintu mudam varena kampari vat prema vikare sha. Text 182. Sometimes it happens that when someone attains direct darshan of Krishna, Krishnasya sakshat apijayate yat. Jayate means is born, like Jayanti means it's born, it happens. If one obtains Krishna sakshat darshan, then what happens? If someone sees the Lord and has sakshat darshan with the Lord, their eyes close as their other senses become inert. When this occurs, it's not because the devotee is meditating on Krishna inside himself or within. Rather, it's an expression of ecstatic symptoms as the devotee becomes overwhelmed with bliss. This is a specific transformation of love, prema vikar. That's what that means, transformation. And it is similar to the 8 sattvic bhav symptoms headed by kampa or shivering. So that was the third point I mentioned, that one's become overwhelmed. When one has darshan of the Lord, he may become overwhelmed with bliss and he can't see the Lord. He closes his eyes. It's not because he wants to meditate. He's seeing the Lord externally and he's just overwhelmed with bliss. It's not that he closes his eyes and wants to see him in his heart. He's having saksha darshan, eye to eye. So, an interesting example of Brahma is that Brahma was absorbed in Antardrishti or Gyandrishti. He was meditating on the Lord inside. And, of course, this may also apply to us because we're in the Sampradaya of Brahma and we're meditating also on the Rup Dhyanam. We're meditating on the form of the Lord and we may be chanting our mantras and meditating on the form of Radha and Krishna Yugal, Radha and Krishna together. Radha Shyam Sundar, Radha Govinda Dev. And then we may open our eyes and we see them outside. Hari Bol. That is something extraordinary. So this is the point Sanatana Goswami made. Sometimes someone is performing severe austerities and penances. And Brahma was doing penances for 100 or 1,000. And then he's meditating on the form of the Lord, Govinda Mari Purusham. You know, he's Krishnaya Govinda. And then what happens? In his meditative samadhi, he attained Bhagavad Darshan. So he was meditating, but then he was touched by the Lord and he engaged in conversation with him. But he was meditating, then the Lord touched, he opened his eyes and the Lord was there and touched him, shook his hand and talked to him. Just like it explained to the 6 Goswamis, when they would come before Madan Mohan or Govindadeva or Gopinath, they would speak to their deities. It wasn't their deity. They would speak to Madan Gopal and they'd speak to Govindaji and Gopinath. Hey, Gopinath. Yes. Rupa Goswami or Madhu Pandit. And they would speak to them, or like the Brahmin came to Sakshi Gopal and said, "Hey, Sakshi Gopal, Remember me? I was here a few months ago with the old Brahmin, and he promised, you know, that he would give his daughter in marriage. Well, look, I'm in a big problem. He's not giving his daughter, and it doesn't look good. You know, people are losing their faith, and so will you please come and witness? And then what did Sakshi Gopal says? Yes, I'll come. I'll be right behind you. I'll walk right behind you. Well, how will I know you're coming? You'll hear my ankle bells. There's so many examples of devotees who would speak to the Lord. So the purport of this is that by the process of dhyanam or samadhi of seeing the Lord within, some devotees receive the bhakta vatsalya or the kripa, favor of the Lord, and then the Lord makes his appearance. So Brahma was only meditating. There is never any fixed rule governing the Lord's appearance. He has been perceived only by Brahma and other Bhagavad Bhaktas of his caliber. The summary is that the most profound bliss is definitely attained by beholding him personally with the eyes or the other senses. Some question? Because there's very, very many interesting points about this. For myself, this is a particularly interesting subject matter. And it's very anukul for bhakti to discuss this subject and to consider this subject in terms of our own practices of devotional service and to see where we are in terms of our eagerness to see the Lord through serving Him or just to see Him. And this, of course, service goes on, and that is our only... that is our sadhana, to serve the Lord in different ways, hearing about Him, chant about Him, remember Him. But there must be some drive, or there must be some utkanta, because you see that in the story of Narada Muni, how he was greatly eager. We discussed the other day, samutkanta. He was very, very eager to see the Lord. Questions? No questions? Different things happen. It depends on the level of the devotee. Which we'll discuss. We've mentioned briefly here that the devotee at the level of sadhana bhakti, he may be overwhelmed in the sense to be amazed, and his heart and mind will be bathed and it'll be completely cleansed of all his ignorance and anarthas. That's what I mentioned. But he won't have any maybe subtle changes. He will not cry. Tears won't shoot out of his eyes. His hair stand, and he'll just like, wow, you know. And then, but the effect is there'll be no more calm, crowed, low moha matsarya. And because as explained in Bilva Mangala Thakur's case, that Krishna revealed himself to increase, to encourage, to confirm, to create the conviction and confirmation in the heart of Bilva Mangala Thakur that yes, Chintamani was right. The prostitute was right when she told you, go to Vrindavan and use all your energy to find Krishna, and you'll see Krishna there. Don't lose hope. Because she told him that, and he set out for Vrindavan from South India, and along the way he saw a lady. He was at the watering hole, and the lady was at the well, and some lady with a brahmani was drawing water there and carrying it back to her house, and he became attracted to her, or maybe she was at the bathing ghat or something. Somehow he saw her, and he followed her all the way home, and she went in the house, and he came to the front door, and he stood there, and she went inside and said, she told her, Prabhu. He said, Prabhu, there's some man following me, standing in the front door. So I opened the front door and they saw this Brahmin standing there, this mendicant. And he said, what do you want? Or he said, please come in, actually. That's the courtesy. Atithi Narayan. Maybe Narayan in the form of an uninvited guest. So he was welcomed into the house. He said, what do you want? And he said, so what happened is that Bilva Mangala, he was on his way to Vrindavan, pursuing Krishna and the goal of life, Krishna Prem. But then in the course of his journey to Vrindavan, he became overwhelmed by his old enemy. His old enemy came in the form of lust. And he lusted after that woman at the bathing ghat. So then he felt repentant about that. And so, he still had material desires, right? So then what happened is he said, yes, can you ask your wife for her hairpins?
So she gave the hairpins and he poked out his eyes, because his eyes were causing a difficulty. So then, what happened is, now he's blind, right? But he can't see, so Krishna appeared to him inside. He had darshan. It's described he had saksha darshan, but I don't know if it's before. It's two or three times he had darshan, maybe before that or after that also. But he saw the Lord, and he became fully determined. He said, okay, no matter what happens, I'm going to reach the goal. I'm going to attain Krishna. I'm not going to be distracted. And of course, he became a great devotee. Because someone, you might say, how is it? Here's someone he was a Brahmin. He was fixed up. He was a Brahmin. He fell down. Can you imagine? This person, he's fixed up. He's a Brahmin. He falls down with a prostitute. And even on the funeral day of his father, funeral celebration, the Shraddha ceremony of his father, he doesn't even go to the ceremony of his father to celebrate the 1 year after his death. He runs off with a prostitute on the very day of the Shraddha ceremony, so attached. So he fell down, and then somehow he got free from that prostitute, and he followed her advice to go to Vrindavan. Then he went to Vrindavan, and again he became subject to lust on the way. Then he poked out his eyes, and then he did bhajan, and then he wrote a book. And then, would you want to read his book? I mean, who is this person? He was following, and he fell down with a prostitute, and he's such bad behavior. Well, he's such a famous devotee that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would listen to his book every night in the Gambhira, Krishna Karnamrita, written by Bilva Mangala Thakur. And it's said that he stayed in Vrindavan for 700 years. And one of his shlokas, he says, my Lord, because Krishna used to come and play with him. And he'd be sitting there under a tree and he's meditating and chanting and singing. And then Krishna would come and bring him a cup of milk to drink. And then he would play, and then he would come and pull on his beard and then run away and then hold on to his knee. And then Bill Mangala would try to catch him. And then he could never catch Krishna. Krishna would just laugh and run away from him. And then Bilva Mangala said, yes, okay, Damodar, you can run away from my hand, you can run away from my grasp, but you can never escape my heart. Because he had locked the Lord in his heart by his surrender and his love. So this Bilva Mangala Thakur, the Lord revealed himself to him to increase his intense desire and to confirm that he'll be successful. Yes, I'm really there. You'll find me. You'll see me. And similar with Narada Muni. So this is also the experience that a sadhaka can have if the Lord... And of course, the Lord reciprocates with the devotee according to his surrender. Yeya tamam prapadyante. If we never think... We never think about seeing the Lord or never have any desire to see the Lord, then probably be a long time before you may see the Lord. Because Krishna is very personal. Everything is a personal philosophy. It's not like fixing a car. You do step 1 through 5 and then your car works or something, or making a cake. First you add the flour, then you add the baking soda, then turn on the oven, and it's not you follow these 10 rules and then you've attained prema. It's a very much, rules are there to give some shape to bring one to the point of attachment and rag and attraction. But ultimately, and Krishna is acting and revealing himself in such a way to try to capture our attention and capture our attraction and enchant us, because Brajadam is based on loving exchanges. Love is very personal and very intimate. It's not a set of formulas or rules and regulations. It's a free flow of the heart and spontaneous exchange of love for the beloved Lord and his beloved servitors. So if one has this intense utkanta or intense eagerness to see the Lord, to act in such a way that the Lord will want to see him, well, part of that acting in such a way that the Lord will want to see us is that we act in such a way that we want to see the Lord. It's just like he's giving his darshan in the temple, but we're too busy to go see him. I'm really busy now. And what to speak of hankering to see him in our heart, or see him when we chant our rounds, or see him in his lila stalis, or see him in the page of the Bhagavatam, or see him in the hearts of others. And, you know, in this way, one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I never lost to him and he's never lost to me. Of course, that verse in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6, verse 30, the Acharyas say that that's Gopi Bhav. That's prema. That's the vision of a premi bhakta. Yomam pashyati sarvaja sarvam chamayi pashyati. For one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me. That was the gopis. Everywhere they looked, they saw Krishna. In the tamal tree, in the kadamba tree, in the jamuna, in the land, in each other, in themselves. I am Krishna. No, you're Kaliya. Get out from here. And they became tadatmika with Krishna and enacted his pastimes. So they were so mad for seeing Krishna. So to me, this is one of the most exciting subjects of Krishna consciousness. Is we read in the Bhagavatam about histories of different devotees who have seen the Lord once. Right when we start the Bhagavatam, Narada Muni's story. Vyasadeva and Narada and Dhruva and Kardama and Prahlad and the gopis and so many devotees. And in Braj, you read about these books, you know, the biographies of the Braj Bhaktas, Braj Ke Bhakta and all these, or saints of Braj. And all these great devotees that lived in Vrindavan had darshan of Krishna, and Krishna drank from their water pot, and Krishna came. This is very inspiring. These are very inspiring subjects. Because you want to love someone, you would like to see them too, wouldn't you? Isn't it? If your love, or at least theoretically, our love is being directed towards Radha and Krishna. Well, if you want. Love means having seeing, feeling, touching, speaking, everything. That's love, isn't it? So there's a certain kind of hope against hope, or a certain kind of eagerness that if a person has high ideals, they may go somewhere. But if you don't have high ideals, where will you go? So devotees, we have the highest ideal, the ideal of Prayojana Tattva, or Sadhya, Prem Sadhya. The goal of life is Krishna Prem. So when will that come? When will that be? Will we see the Lord tomorrow when we chant Japa? Or tonight when you chant your Anik, when you chant your Gayatri? Will you chant in such a way that Krishna will say, oh, this person is so much desirous, and so much, he's looking everywhere and searching, he's like Parikshit, he's searching everywhere and looking for me, just like Parikshit saw the Lord in the womb of his mother, and he had a doll of Krishna when he was little, and he used to do deity worship when he was a child, and dressed the doll like Krishna, and he always did puja, and he was looking everywhere. Where is that beautiful Krishna I saw in the womb of my mother, in the temple of my mother's womb, right? And then he was examining and looking everywhere, where? And finally, he saw him in the pages of the Bhagavatam, spoken by Shukamuni. Then he had the darshan of Krishna.